The historical events and the personal circumstances of people's lives in the Word of God are illustrative of spiritual truth. And that was the case both in Old Testament times and in New Testament times as well. You can read about the actual events that happened in somebody's life, but there's also in the background there an illustration of spiritual truth. And we have the warrant for looking at the scriptures in this way. If you think of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and the opening verses of that chapter, Paul mentions a number of historical events out of the Old Testament. And he lists them there one after the other in the opening verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And then when you come down to verse 11, it says, "Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." So he's taking the reader of the book of Corinthians, both the Corinthian church and you and I as well, reading the Corinthian letters. He's taking us back into Old Testament times, and he's taking us back to Old Testament events. And he says these things happened. They're historical facts, they're historical events, but they teach spiritual truths. They illustrate spiritual truths. And it is in that vein that I want to look at a particular text of Scripture or part of a text of Scripture out of this portion that we have read this evening. Because if you look here at 2 Timothy chapter 4 and the opening words of verse 21, you will find really the phrase that I want us to think upon this evening. There at the beginning of verse 21, it says, "Do thy diligence to come before winter." Do thy diligence to come before winter. And this phrase that is before us here in this particular verse, it falls into that category, and I think that there is here an illustration of gospel truth. It refers to a factual event. It refers to an incident in the life of Timothy and what Paul is exhorting young Timothy here to do, but here an illustration of the gospel. There is an illustration of something that those who are unconverted in this meeting tonight need to think about and need to consider and need to take on board and need to do in the light of what the Word of God has to say. Now, Paul is a prisoner in the city of Rome. He yearns to see young Timothy once again. Timothy is his son in the faith, and in that sense, there is a special bond between Paul and Timothy, but Paul can't come to where Timothy is. Timothy is in Ephesus, so he's many, many miles away from Rome, and from other references, even in this chapter there that we have read this evening, it's easy to work out that Timothy evidently is in Ephesus. For example, Alexander the coppersmith is mentioned there in verse 14 where we were reading. And if you go back to the Acts of the Apostles without just turning to that this evening, you will know that the event and the opposition that that man raised against Paul in his preaching took place in Ephesus. And there's some other incidences referred to in this second letter as well. So it's easy to understand where Timothy is. Timothy is in Ephesus. Paul is in Rome. Paul cannot leave the city of Rome. He's under arrest, a form of house arrest. He can receive visitors and people can come and meet and he can converse with them. But Paul does not have freedom or liberty to leave Rome and go and do any visiting. So he wants Timothy to come to him. And as we know from this portion of Scripture as well, Paul is aware that his days are numbered and that he's soon going to go to a martyr's death. And he wants for one last time to meet with Timothy, not just to write to him and to speak to him and exhort him in that particular way, but he wants to meet him face to face. He wants to converse with him. And here at the end of this letter, he sends this instruction to Timothy that we want to look at. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Do thy diligence to come before winter. And as we come tonight to Harvest Thanksgiving services, well, the summer is already past for what you could call of it being a summer, and we're into autumn, and soon winter is coming. So when we come to this Harvest Service Thanksgiving meeting tonight, I think it's an appropriate verse of Scripture just to stop and to consider. It may well be that we have read this portion of Scripture many times and read over these closing verses, and there's a lot of names in these details, and maybe we've just read over verse 21 and we have never thought of anything more than the fact, well, it was an instruction that Paul gave to Timothy. But tonight I want us to stop for a moment and think about it in the gospel context. And I trust that as we do so, the Lord will come and bless His word tonight as we consider it. I want you first of all to notice that there is a journey that we all need to undertake urgently. Paul is here urging Timothy to start out on a journey. Do thy diligence to come before winter. And if you remember, Timothy is in Ephesus, Paul is in Rome. There is this journey that he exhorts Timothy to make, and he wants Timothy to make it before the winter time comes. He wants Timothy to make this journey to the city of Rome, that great imperial city, sometimes called the Eternal City. It's the city that lies at the very heart of the Roman Empire. It's the city of the emperor himself in those days, and from here he rules that vast domain that was known as the Roman Empire. And he wants Timothy, Paul wants Timothy, to come at once, to make haste and to come and to visit him before he's sentenced to death and that sentence is executed. So he's exhorting Timothy to come. Now there's reason why he wants Timothy to come at this particular time, not just the fact that Paul knows that his days are short, but there is another reason as well. And if you look there at verse 13 of this chapter, you'll find the reason why Paul wants Timothy to come before winter. It says, "The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, and especially the parchments." The cloak that I have left at Troas. Well, Troas was in a kind of the same vicinity as Ephesus. Ephesus, as you know, was in the western part of modern-day Turkey. Well, just a little up to the north, Troas was a port city. It was the place that Paul went to when he had seen the Macedonian vision, and he was going to cross over into Europe, over into Macedonia, and on to Philippi and preach the gospel there. It was down to Troas that he went and where he got the ship that would take him across the sea. So Troas is in the vicinity of Ephesus, and Paul wants Timothy to go by Troas and to pick up this cloak that he had left there. Now, we know that Paul is an aged man. He describes himself at this time, even earlier, in earlier years, he describes himself as Paul the aged. So he's an elderly man, and evidently he was feeling the cold. Evidently the winter wasn't all that enjoyable when he was there in Rome and under house arrest and whatever circumstances and conditions he was facing. He felt the cold, and he's writing to young Timothy and he desires to see him, and he says, "Timothy, go by Troas when you're coming and pick up that cloak and bring it with you when you're coming to Rome, and do it all before winter. Come before the cold sets in, because I need the cloak." And evidently Paul desired to know a little warmth and know a little heat from the benefit of having that particular cloak. And when you think about those particular circumstances, is there not there an illustration of the gospel? As I say, is there not a journey that we all are exhorted to set out on, not just to some earthly city, not even to some earthly city that is known as the Eternal City, but to the one Eternal City, to the New Jerusalem above, to God's Eternal City. You see, have we ever started out on that journey that will take us to heaven? You have to start out on the journey. You can't get to heaven unless you start out on the journey. Unless you commence the way and get into the way and progress along the way, you'll never get to heaven. You'll never get to the celestial city. You'll never get to the eternal city that will outlast every city that is on earth, no matter what name any earthly city may have. If we are ever to reach the celestial city, you have to step out on the journey. You have to start on the journey. And therefore, this exhortation of Paul here to Timothy does remind us of what the Scripture tells us in many, many places about the need to start out on that journey. And maybe you're here tonight in this meeting and your church going, but you've never started out on that journey. Maybe you're often found in a gospel, on a Sunday evening in a gospel meeting. You take your seat in this congregation, maybe on a regular basis, but if the truth were told, and if you were honest with yourself and honest before God, you've never started out on the way to heaven. You've never started out on the way to heaven. You hear the gospel, you maybe know the way of salvation. No, you could never say, I've never been told and I've never heard. All of those things would be true with regards to you. You know the way of salvation, but you've never, ever started out on that way. You've never taken that step that starts you out on the way that leads to heaven and that leads to home. Well, maybe when we come to this harvest service, Thanksgiving service this evening, this exhortation out of this particular verse of Scripture would stir your heart and make you realize, I have to start out on this journey. And in order to start out on this journey, there's a particular place that you need to go to. Just the same way as Timothy had to go to Troas and pick up Paul's coat, there's something you need to do in order to start out on the journey. You'll never reach God's eternal city. You'll never reach the New Jerusalem above unless you go by the cross and you put on Christ's righteousness as a garment. There's a cloak of righteousness that Jesus Christ provides for sinners. And that righteousness has been provided by the death of Jesus Christ, by his life and by his death. And you need that on. You see, you need on the wedding garment. I'm sure we're all familiar, at least to some extent, of that parable that you read of in the Scriptures about the wedding and then the man who did not have on the wedding garment. It was the custom, unlike here in this part of the world in which we live in, that all the guests were provided with a garment to wear at the wedding. Well, that might be true with a bridal party and a groom and best man or whatever in our culture, but over in the East in Bible times, everybody that attended the wedding was given a garment to wear. So therefore, it was very easy to see somebody who would enter into the celebrations of that wedding and not have on the garment that was provided for them by the individual who had arranged the wedding and whose son was getting married. And you know how in that parable, that man who did not have on the wedding garment was singled out. And the question was asked, how comest thou in hither, not having on a wedding garment? You see, he needed to have something on. He needed to have on the wedding garment in order to enter into the presence of the great King. And so it is with regards to heaven. We can never start out on the way to heaven until we have put on the righteousness of Christ. And it is described as a garment. Over there in Isaiah chapter 61 and in verse 10, you read those words, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, my soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation, he hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. There is a wedding garment that the Lord provides for sinners to start them off in the way to heaven and will gain them entrance into that celestial city. And if we do not ever have started the journey and if we have never put on the wedding garment, we'll never be in heaven. That opening hymn tonight sang about the harvest being gathered home, not just the physical harvest. And we're acknowledging that tonight and God's goodness in a physical way. But that hymn was also speaking about the harvest of the world. There's a spiritual harvest time for the world coming when the Lord will gather in. Oh, he'll gather the chaff and he'll cast it into the fire to be burned, but he's going to gather the wheat into his barn. There's a harvest time for the world that is coming. And we need, if we're ever to be gathered in among the wheat, Well, we need to start out on this journey, and we need this garment upon us. We need the righteousness of Christ as ours. We need on the wedding garment that the Lord himself provides. And if we do not have it on, we'll never be among those who enter into heaven. And when you think about the instructions that are given here by Paul to Timothy to start out in this journey and to go by Troas and pick up this cloak and bring it with him, it does illustrate the need for you and I to have on the wedding garment, to have on the robe of Christ's righteousness. And tonight, old or young, if you've never come as a sinner to Christ, you can never start out on the road to heaven. There's many today who think they're on the road to heaven, but they've never come to the cross. They've never come to Jesus Christ. They think that they're on the road by some other means. And it's amazing the reasoning that they employ, and even sometimes the foolish logic that they employ to bring themselves to that place where they think that they're on the way to heaven. Or maybe they think that a loved one is on the way to heaven. And yet they've never had a thought of God in all their life. They've never lived for the Lord. They've never sought the Lord for salvation. They've never come to him as a sinner and acknowledged that their sin will take them down to hell, and unless it's forgiven and cleansed and they've Christ's righteousness on them, that they'd be in heaven. They've never acknowledged that. Yet they think they're on the way to heaven. Well, may the Lord tonight impress upon your heart that you'll never be in heaven until you come to Christ as a sinner and you put on his righteousness. And every time you read down this chapter, 2 Timothy 4, and you read about that cloak that Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, go and get that cloak and bring it with you. Let it, every time you read those verses or hear them read, it reminds you, I need to put on a garment if I'm ever to be in heaven. And that garment is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. What joy there must have been when Timothy did come to Rome and meet up with Paul and bring him that cloak, and there's the books and the parchments that are mentioned as well. What joy there must have been in Paul's heart when Timothy got there. And what joy there is too when a sinner comes to Christ and when a sinner enters into heaven. There's joy in the presence of the angels when a sinner repenteth, but there's joy in the presence of the angels as each redeemed soul enters into heaven and their sojourn in this world is done. And they enter in through those pearly gates, and they enter in among the redeemed to spend all of eternity in the presence of the Lord. Oh, what rejoicing there is. And will there be rejoicing over you? Maybe even tonight, over a sinner that repenteth, will there be rejoicing over you? There's that hymn. It's in our hymn book. It says, we're bound for the land of the pure and the holy, the home of the happy and kingdom of love. Ye wanderers from God in the broad road of folly, oh say, will you go to the Eden above? And tonight, if you're unsaved, I want to challenge you. Will you go to the Eden above? And if you are to go, you must come as a sinner to Christ. You must put on his righteousness. The second thing I want you to notice here is that this journey needs to be made before it is too late. Paul, in this exhortation in verse 21, said to Timothy, do thy diligence to come before winter. And if you go back up to verse 9, you'll see a similar exhortation there. It says, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. So in one place he says, come shortly, make no delay, come soon. And then down in verse 21, Paul says to Timothy, you've got to come before winter. And we've explained why it is that he's emphasizing here, come before winter. But surely the gospel is illustrated here as well. How suitable that is to gospel exhortations, that you do something quickly, you do it shortly, that you do it before it is too late. Over in the book of Hebrews, there's those, well, thrice repeated statements. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. And the Lord tells us in His Word that you need to come to Christ, and you need to come to Christ now. You cannot afford any delay. Paul didn't know how long he had in this world. Paul wants to see Timothy before he leaves this world. And he goes back there to where we started our reading in verse 6 of this chapter. He says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Paul understands the time for him to leave the world is at hand. It's so near. It's so close. He wants to see Timothy for one last time, this young man, this young preacher that had come to know Christ through Paul's preaching and meant so much to Paul all through those later years as he's ministered. He wants to see this man one last time, and he says, "My time to leave this world is at hand. Therefore, Timothy, come quickly. Don't make any delay. Certainly come before winter." And how important it is that the unconverted soul comes to Christ today. That's the only guarantee you have in God's Word that you'll be saved if you come today. There's no promises for tomorrow, because we know tomorrow may never come. And for some, even tonight, certainly in this little province, maybe even among us in this meeting, tomorrow will not come for some. That's the reality. And therefore, there is an urgency tonight. Whether you're old or young, yeah, it's true, the old must die, but the young may die. And you may be young in this meeting and you're out of Christ. Well, you need to be urgent about the matter as well. And do not think, "I've got plenty of time. I can think about this at some other time of life. I can come to Christ some other day, some other year." No, the Lord says, "Come today. Come today. Come quickly. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." That reference to winter in verse 21 surely brings us to think about Paul's experience of traveling over that sea in the winter time. Remember what happened in Acts 27 when Paul was the prisoner and they were wanting to take him to Rome? He had appealed to Caesar, and to Caesar he will go. And Paul pleaded with them, advised them not to launch out on the journey because the time for sailing had passed. In other words, winter had come. It was the time of storms. It was the time that endangered the ship. But they wouldn't listen. Those in Acts 27, not only did they want to get Paul and those other prisoners to Rome, but it tells us that they wanted to get the cargo of the ship. There was wheat in the ship. And they wanted to get it to port. And it was no good wintering in the port on the island where they were at that time. Who was going to buy a cargo, and what price would they get for a cargo of wheat on an island? And those who owned the ship and those who owned the cargo wanted to get the cargo to a bigger port and wanted to get it to where they'd get the best price for it. And it didn't matter when Paul pleaded with them and told them, "Don't launch out, this journey's going to be a disaster." They pressed on nevertheless, and out into the sea they went, and out into the storm, and they lost their cargo. You see, Paul had an experience of traveling at winter time. He knew the dangers. And that's why he's pleading here with Timothy, not only with regards to the cloak and bringing him the cloak, but also with regards to traveling and the danger of traveling in the winter time. Remember, the ship depended upon the wind and the sails. There would have been no mechanization process then that would have made the ship to be able to make its way through a storm and go contrary to the winds. The ship was at the mercy of the winds. And if there was a storm and the winter time was the time for storms, well, Paul knows, "Timothy, you'd be at the mercy of the sea if you come during winter." So he's pleading with Timothy. Here, Timothy, he says, "Come before winter. But surely that thought of coming before winter makes us to think about a spiritual truth. You see, there's a winter time for this world that is coming. There's a winter time for this world that is coming, not in the physical sense, because the seasons come and the seasons go, and in a little time we'll be in the winter season. But the Bible tells us about a time when a storm is going to break upon this world. Not a physical storm, not like some of those storms that were there recently that swept up through the Caribbean and into Florida. A storm of God's wrath that's going to fall upon this world. The winter time of this world is coming. And there's going to come a storm upon this world. And you who are not ready, you who are not saved, you who have never come to Jesus Christ, you're in great danger of perishing in that storm. And that's why you need to come to know Jesus Christ. And you needed to do it before that storm breaks upon you and upon this world. If you turn over to Revelation chapter 6, you read a little about that storm that will come one day upon the world. In the closing verses of that chapter, Revelation chapter 6, verse 14, it says, "The heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island was moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" You think of some of that footage, I'm sure you've seen it, with regards to the storms that those hurricanes that were in the Caribbean and America. There's places where nothing stood before the power of that storm. Everything was flattened and destroyed. Well, doesn't it ask a similar question there at the end of Revelation 6? Who shall be able to stand on that day when the wrath of God comes upon this world and that storm of his wrath comes upon the world? The question is asked, who will stand? Certainly not the person who's unconverted. Certainly not you tonight if you've never come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You'll be swept away in that storm. And in the light of that coming storm, you need to come to Christ. You need to seek the Lord. You need to be saved. And as Paul writes to Timothy, come shortly, or come quickly, as it is translated some other places in the New Testament. You need to come quickly. You need to flee to Christ right away, even this very night. One final thing I want you to notice here very quickly, and that is that diligence is required to make this journey. Do you notice there in verse 21, and also if you go back up to verse 9 as well, the word diligence appears. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Timothy is to be diligent about this matter. He's not to neglect this earnest entreaty and this word that has come to him from Paul. He's not to put it aside and go about other things and just continue about those other matters that were occupying his time and his attention. He's to be diligent about this matter. He's to be diligent. And the sinner needs to be diligent. It's interesting that Timothy received a written communication instructing him to come at once. Well, isn't that what the Word of God is to us? A written communication exhorting us to come at once to Christ? Isn't that the purpose of the Scriptures, to set forth Christ as the Redeemer of sinners and exhort sinners to flee from wrath to come and come to Him and come to Him quickly? diligence is needed. Because there's other things that can distract us. There's other things that can occupy your time and your thoughts. And they can distract you from coming to Christ. And Paul writes to Timothy and he says, don't let anything distract you, Timothy. Give diligence to this. Give diligence. Give thought to this. Give attention to this matter. Whatever it is that it would hold you back, have done with it. Lay it aside. Make this journey. And so it is in the gospel tonight. You're exhorted to lay aside whatever it is that hinders you. Every hindrance that is to be laid aside, that you might come and follow Christ. Every excuse is to be forsaken. And how good we are at making excuses. And maybe tonight you've made many excuses with regards to coming to Christ. And maybe other Sunday evenings you've sat in this church and you've heard the gospel preached by the Lord's servant here and you've gone out making excuse. Well, tonight may you have done with making excuse. May you see the folly of that. May you see the folly of that. We read about those that were invited to that banquet in Luke 14, verse 18, and it says, they all with one consent began to make excuse. And it seems as if every unconverted soul has an excuse just suited to them. They have this to attend to and that to attend to, and there's these other things that are just more pressing, it seems, at the moment than sorting out the matter of their soul. Well, just as Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, Timothy, give diligence to this matter. May tonight God give you diligence not to make excuses any longer, but to come to Jesus Christ. Every hindrance has to be forsaken. Every excuse has to be forsaken. Every sin has to be forsaken. Is it sin that keeps you back from coming to Christ? Every sin has to go. Don't let sin take you down to hell. Some pet sin, some favorite sin, don't let that sin take you down to a lost eternity. But come to Christ tonight. Come and be saved. May the Lord bless his word tonight for his name's sake.